Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit SurreyFarms.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Episode 56 of The Morning After on heritageradionetwork.org. Back in studio, the jet-setting Jen Tulloch.
I am back. I missed you.
I missed you, too.
I missed you. I missed the taxidermied boar's head on the wall. I missed the pizza, the smell of pizza, the smell of sweat, the smell of Bushwick.
Well, for those of you out there, we do have a taxidermied boar's head in studio, in our log cabin-esque studio. And I, among many, have banged their head on this thing.
You banged their head. You banged other people's heads.
I mean,
I have to tell them, among many, and
well, I have knocked my head against this boar, and I didn't realize it was going to happen, and he has some tusks.
It's a low-hanging boar.
It is. So, for those of you future guests, this is a warning to you.
I think we take it for granted that we have a very clear understanding of our surroundings when, you know, those billions of listeners... don't know. We are in
billions to dozens.
Billions to dozens, which is the name of my next book. But we are basically in a log cabin treehouse, so it's exposed. It's like it's raw wood. There is a literal taxidermied boar's head on the wall, and there's a what would you call that? And what are those called?
That's like that a crocheted blanket, like a little knitted.
It's called something. There's a
something
word for that,
that would be
Afghan.
In like. Thank you, Joe. That's an Afghan?
That is an Afghan. Loved by hippies everywhere.
Speaking of Joe, Joe and I have had the pleasure of working, or at least it's been a pleasure for me. I don't know if it's been a pleasure for Joe, but we've known each other through working together on this show. But it was only recently brought to my attention, and by recently I mean this morning when I ran into a buddy on the street, that I'd met Joe before, and we had partied together years ago. In a dorm room at NYU. I ran into my friend this morning and he said, oh, you work with my buddy Joe on your radio show. And I said, yeah, how do you know Joe? And he said, Jen, we all partied together. It was how time flies.
It was a blast.
We were but children.
Joe, do you remember this?
I did upon this same friend telling me about it.
Hi, Avery.
Hey, what's up, Avery?
That must have been quite a party. Neither of you really remember.
I believe it was more like four people sitting in a dorm room on a floor, you know, like a party.
Listen.
Quote unquote.
Different strokes, okay?
Speaking of different strokes, in studio today. Nope, not in studio today.
Just the two
phone.
Of us.
On the phone. I know, it's
just the two of us. That's the Will Smith version, by the way, not the original.
Who sang the original?
Grover Washington?
Okay, well done.
I think.
Okay, you're smarter than me. I get it. On the phone today.
Or Bill Withers. Shit, I don't remember.
Well, we'll have to figure it out. Maybe Joe can Google that for us. But as a call-in, I wish he could be in studio, but he is he's in Philadelphia making restaurants happen there. Matthew Wang, director of purchasing for Steven Starr Restaurants.
That's big.
Which is huge. And I can't wait to talk to him about how he does that.
I would have certainly developed some sort of addiction. I don't know if it would be to uppers or downers, but to be the director of purchasing for something that huge, that's a lot of purchasing.
Well, and yeah, I mean, to me, purchasing just sounds like buying, so I can't wait to actually hear everything else he does.
Yeah, I can't wait either.
But first, everyone's favorite segment, front of house.
It's your favorite story. It's front of house. It's a front of house.
Can't get over that jingle. Who made that? So this week's front of house comes from a good friend of our program, the lovely, talented, brilliant, beautiful Erin Sylvester, paramour of our beloved Jessie.
She's my girlfriend. She's your girlfriend. She's pretty funny too. This is going to be a good story.
So I feel that to truly do Erin justice, we again have to bring in a friend who's been lingering in the corner silently waiting for her time in the spotlight.
When she was in Nashville with you.
She was. I traveled. If you listened in last week, I was traveling to Nashville as the companion and assistant to the Dame Joan Plowright, the Baroness Olivier, a good friend of the show, frequent contributor. She wasn't walking so well, so I was helping her. We were at the Queen's Garden Mint Julep Jubilee. But she's here in studio, and she's offered to read Aaron's Front of House. Are you, Dame, are you ready?
I am quite ready. This is the story, true story, of good intentions gone terribly wrong. The night started out well. Busy, well-paced, reservations all on time. At the beginning of the second seating, two gentlemen were brought to table 31. Table 31 is considered to be a nice table. It's where the Obamas sat when they dined here. What makes it so nice is that it's a corner booth with a bit of privacy granted by an ever-changing, always dramatic floral arrangement that creates a screen of sorts between table 31 and its neighbor table, 28. In a small New York restaurant, any modicum of privacy is a gift. When the gentlemen were seated, I noticed that this week's ever-changing, always dramatic arrangement was branches and leaves, and it was forming a too tight halo over the head of one of the gentlemen. Quick to assist, I gracefully glided up to the table and offered my best help. I asked him earnestly and in the most professional voice I could cop, "Is that bush poking you in the head? Would you like me to trim it?" I paused for a second, deeply breathing in that sweet, sweet taste of regret. I averted my eyes from his certain look of horror, trying desperately to regroup. I began, "Let me rephrase," and mustered up the courage to look him in the eyes. Much to my surprise, his eyes twinkled as he looked back at me and said, "Honey, my head hasn't been poked by a bush in years." We looked at each other knowingly, as a lesbian and gay man can do. Touché. Touché. I never did fully recover. That dialogue went through my head 1,000 times that night. But at the end of the day, I'm glad I snipped away those leaves and branches. Because let's be honest, no one wants their head to be poked by a bush while they are eating dinner.
Thank you, Dame. Oh, she's gone. She always shuffles out so quickly.
Somehow, like, she, you know, you're in Nashville with her, she can't walk, and then she flies away like a spirit.
You know, she does a lot of juicing. It's what keeps her young.
I hear, yeah, the raw diet is, absolutely, is the diet. We'll be right back on The Morning After with Matthew Wang, Director of Purchasing for Steven Star Restaurants.
This one's called We Can Build You by Huntronic. The heritageradionetwork.org. You can download Huntronic's album for free or any price you'd like to pay at huntronic.bandcamp.com.
Today's program has been brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit www.surreyfarms.com.
And we're back on The Morning After. I'm Jesse Kiefer.
I am Gentelic.
On the line, Matthew Wang, director of purchasing for the mega restaurateur Stephen Starr, Stephen Starr Restaurants. Matthew, are you there?
Hello, ladies.
Hi, Matthew.
How are you?
Do you prefer Mr. Wang?
No, I don't. The guys actually call me that as a joke. Mr. Wang is here.
All right, we'll go with Mr. Matthew.
Well, I'm sure it commands respect, though, when they call you that.
Well, the inside joke is that I'm not an Asian guy, so that's why it's funny.
All right.
Well, this changes everything. Okay, I did not know that.
So you're adopted by an Asian family, and your name is Wang.
It's not that interesting of a story, actually. It's just sort of typical American immigration tale. Last names get screwed up, and I am a Wang who is a Jewish guy from Westchester, New York. But it's the first time. If we were in studio, I would be sitting there, and you're like, I don't know if Matt Wang's here. Like, no, I'm Matt Wang.
Some other guy showed up.
Because his really adorable personal assistant is here, but...
Well, Matt, thank you so much for calling in with us. I know you're all the way in Philadelphia, and in solidarity, I'm wearing my favorite vintage T-shirt that says Philadelphia, and it has like a big skyline on it and a bullet hole in the middle.
It's not a bullet hole. Nice. A moth ate it.
Or maybe someone shot a hole through someone's shirt. I don't know. It's a black shirt. You couldn't tell.
We were just, before you called in, we were talking about how we both love Philly so much, and for any New Yorker, it's a day trip you have no excuse for not making, because it's so easy to get
to.
2 hours
on the megabus.
It's such a cool place. There's so much history, and there's so much good food there.
And
there's tons of good food. I'm a recent transplant. I've been down here for less than 2 years, and I just love it. I was in New York and Brooklyn for over 10 years, and moving to Philly is sort of like a vacation with the city just close enough to be there for our business, you know.
Where you can afford a better apartment, I'm sure. a bigger and grander apartment. I mean, every time I go there, I see so many gorgeous, like, they're row houses, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And our house is 200 years old. We have a fireplace and everything. It's really like big boy living.
Yeah, it must be hard. So you. So, director of purchasing, I mean, you obviously didn't just, you know, come out of the womb and become that. How did you, you know, start in New York, and what kind of brought you in this direction?
Well, I've had a very diverse career, and I've always sort of planned on doing it that way. When I was younger, I worked for a group called the Main Street Restaurant Partners, who in the late 1990s and early 2000s were big time. They had 6 restaurants, Union Pacific, famous for the famous Rocco de Spiritu. Mm-hmm. And I, in a meeting with those guys, I mentioned interest, and they said, we want to make you the director of purchasing and teach you this sort of skill set. So that's how I sort of started down the line. Prior to that, I was in the front of the house. I was a cook. And then I went to culinary school and became sort of parallel paths, a purchasing guy and a culinarian and a chef. And it's just something I've always kind of done. I was really lucky to be in the right place in the right time.
And so, and you were, correct me if I'm wrong, you were at Gramercy, correct?
No. Okay.
No, okay. Sorry.
I was, that's just about the only one I didn't work for. I worked for the Main Street guys, Eric de Capital. I opened the Maritime Hotel. Mm-hmm. I opened Del Posto. I worked for the Our Guest. I opened the Standard. Opened a restaurant called Academia Divino, a bar in Brooklyn called Alchemy. Jumped around from a lot of places. I worked for both Hilton and Marriott.
As did I.
You did?
Oh, yeah. My first technical, quote-unquote, serving job was when I was 17. I worked at Marriott's Forum at Brookside, which was a Marriott-owned retirement community in Louisville, Kentucky. My job was to wear a tuxedo and serve in the dining room. Dinner was served at 5 o'clock, and I also valet parked the scooters. That is a true story.
Nice.
Marriott, brother.
I mean, and there's a reason why they're the biggest hospitality companies in the world, and the benefits for me, at least, were I got amazing management training. You know, my core hospitality, you know, backbone comes from working for these guys, and I wouldn't replace it for anything, because it's really, you know, it's European-based and old-school and traditional, and it's really the core of everything we do.
Yeah.
And so for all our New York listeners out there, I mean, Stephen, if they're not familiar with Stephen Starr restaurants here in New York are Budokan, Morimoto, and then we have Feta Sau in Williamsburg, and you guys just opened Feta Sau in Philly, right?
Yep. We opened that about 2 months ago. We also have a restaurant called Cafe Storico in the New York Historical Society, mm-hmm. And 20 restaurants in Philadelphia, 2 in Miami, 2 in Atlantic City, and a gigantic and growing catering arm that's like growing so quickly I can't even keep up with it. Next year we're opening as few as 4 and as many as 7 restaurants. You know, we're always doing something new and exciting.
So
we're opening a restaurant with Peter Serpico here in Philadelphia that's really exciting.
So
version of our Mexican restaurant Elvez in New York.
That is beyond my mind frame as far as restaurants go. How can you, as director of purchasing, like how do you maintain that, and really what does your job entail?
I am responsible for the for all the software, as I like to put it, all of the things that we buy over and over again in the restaurants. I'm responsible for talking to the chefs and managers, making sure they're making great decisions in terms of both quality, pricing, getting great service, getting everything they need. That's for the ongoing operations. And for new operations, I work with the designers and Steven and the architects and everybody to just help build these operations, get everything they need in place, help develop everything. I usually go on site and, you know, live and work there for a couple weeks and make sure everything's there as we wanted it to be. Right now, with all the projects we're doing, it is a little bit dizzying, but it's really awesome to sit there with Stephen Starr and kind of come up with this stuff and build these worlds. It's fantastic.
And what is his kind of staple? Is every restaurant different, or does he try to kind of maintain, you know, one streamlined idea and then, you know, build upon that?
The main idea, really, I've worked for everybody. You know, I worked for Mario Batali, I worked for Andre Bellage. You know, those are two very different mindsets. Steven is very design-oriented, like Andre is, but he really thinks about food. Like, food and the way we think about it and the level of execution on the day-to-day is really what makes us who we are. And Steven thinks about it more than anybody else. The glitz and the shininess of the restaurants and their grandeur is just a way to get people in the door to see what we do really well, which is execute day in and day out really consistently.
And I feel like that's when you think about a big, and not restaurant chain, but a big restaurant group, at least for me, I kind of assume that some of that quality would be lost. How do you work to continue with quality, to continue with kind of sustainable food and just kind of keep something fresh and new when there are so many restaurants?
Well, there's three ways I can answer that question. When you talk about things that are fresh and new, that's the best part of my job. With so many different concepts, so, you know, there's 300 chefs that I work with almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm constantly introducing new ideas to them, and they're constantly introducing new ideas and products to me. So keeping it new is really easy. In terms of staying quality-oriented and above the board, so to speak, in terms of sustainability and, you know, the proper, ethics of what we try and do. It's also really simple for us because we can come in and we could say, hey, Meyer's All Natural Beef, we're going to open a Feta Sau in Philadelphia. We want you to start raising cattle in Lancaster County, and they'll do it. You know, we can turn to particular farmers in Lancaster and say, we want to buy all of our eggs from you, free bird chicken. We're going to buy all of our chickens from you. And move it down the line and took it to all of our restaurants because we have the purchasing ability to do that. So we can really affect a lot of change very quickly because we can move a lot of product and help people grow some sustainable businesses really effectively.
So it's like basically you can say, like, we can purchase this, you can create it. So as far as your relationship with purveyors, are you one of their main sources of income?
Certainly in the Philadelphia market, you'd find there's some big companies that, you know, I didn't really know much about in New York, but as you look at it, there are companies like, say, Samuels and Son Seafood, which didn't have a huge foothold in New York until fairly recently. They're a bigger seafood company than anybody I've dealt with in New York, and they built their business on star restaurants. And, I mean, if you had Sammy D'Angelo on the phone, he'd say the same thing. So we've built a lot of the food systems in Philadelphia built around the growth of our company, which is really exciting because I get to sit down with people that are really, you know, partners and partners for the long haul with Steven and our group. We're building in other markets. I think in New York and bringing some of our New York contacts into Philadelphia and sort of developing a broader view, you know, we're working with more and more partners and getting a lot of interesting stuff done.
Do you feel like, because I've been to Philadelphia and I've dined there, and many restaurants have sister restaurants, and there's kind of this restaurant group thing that's growing. Do you feel like, because I don't feel like that's, of course there are those restaurateurs in New York City, but do you feel like that is going to continue and that is kind of the future of restaurants? I mean, I know that obviously there's been chains, but to be a restaurateur, you're constantly opening different restaurants. Do you feel like that's kind of the future of the restaurant world?
Yeah, I think that you'll see it. It's becoming more and more accessible in an interesting way. You know, I have good friends that own a restaurant in Brooklyn called Rucola, you know, and they're going to open a second restaurant. And it's a small, tiny neighborhood place, but they're already doing a little bit of empire building on their own. And I think what happens is there's an economy of scale to restaurateurs that they see almost immediately. The model in Philadelphia, which is really, really fun, is that you start with the BYOBs, you develop a reputation for your BYOB work, mm-hmm. and then you can get that liquor license and open that second restaurant. So it's almost the path that everybody's on in a really interesting way. I mean, not to the degree we are, but, you know, like Mario and Rich from Teresi, you know, they're opening in another restaurant, two more restaurants this year. So there's something to be said for building and dividing and just having a mindset of creative and correct multiplicity and not wearing the thing out, I think is a really important part.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, to keep recreating the same thing doesn't really seem to move people forward. It may hinder them. So I'm hoping that, you know, while the restaurateur is taking over, you know, the chain kind of stops. So what are the challenges for you as far as being the director of purchasing? Because there has to be a lot. I mean, I know that, you know, dealing with purveyors who know that you are you have the money and you are, going to be a powerful buyer. You know, they can create the goods that you want. I mean, what's the other side of that?
Well, the other side of it is that we have so many daily operations, and you guys know, as people who currently work in restaurants and have in the past, there's always the little things. And I, you know, as we talked about on the phone, Jesse, I'm the lawyer. I'm the chef's lawyer. I'm their fairy godmother and their lawyer. So they call me first when they have problems. And with so many guys happening in business every day at the same time, sometimes the phone rings constantly and there's little problems that I have to deal with. And juggling a lot of balls at the same time while doing some more sort of longer-term projects with the openings. It can get a little overwhelming. Sometimes also, you know, I am at my very core, I was there at the very beginning of this sort of green restaurant movement with the guys at Del Posto, and it's really important to me, and I've been working really hard to bring it into what we do. And sometimes I have to recognize that there's a patience that needs to be the virtuous nature and how to bring it to bear in a larger business.
Well, and I mean, I think it's great that they're working to keep the quality and keep the sustainability and focusing on not cutting corners, even when that could be the easier out. Matthew, it's been great to talk with you, and I come in studio so we can see
Please,
if you're Asian or not.
Come visit us, Mr. Wang.
I would love to. I'd love to talk to you guys more anytime you have a interesting sourcing question. I always have a line open to you guys or anybody out there. I get calls every day from chefs I haven't worked for in years. Please feel free to shout out to me, everybody and anybody.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
And just before I let you go, maybe, I guess, if someone's going to take that day trip, that 24-hour trip to Philly, where should they eat?
I love Greg Vernick's restaurant, Vernick. He's about the nicest guy in the world, and his restaurant is fantastic. Our restaurant, The Dandelion, is really great. Amy Alexi's Tallulah's Table out in Lancaster County is fantastic. There's just so much. And if you pair it with a good sports day, and I'm a big sports fan, it really is about as fun as it can get.
I agree with you, and I absolutely think that Jen and I are going
to
go.
We're coming to Philly. We're going to find you.
We're going to do the morning after in Philly. We're going to call you up, and we're going to just, you know, eat as much as we can in, like, you know, I don't know, 24 hours, right? We got 24 hours.
Let's do it.
Done.
Put that shipping container on the back of a truck and drive it down, and we'll set up a Heritage South.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for talking to us today, man. It's been great.
Nice talking to you, ladies. Bye.
Take care.
We'll be right back on the morning after.
You're listening to Baldy by Huntronic on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Every Tuesday at 12 p.m., you can call food scientist Dave Arnold and ask any question you want.
John from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Dave.
Cooking issues!
Who am I fooling?
This is horrible stuff. Without glutamic acid, you die! It is a matter of taste, but there's a lot more fat in sausage than you think.
Get ahead of the curve. Tune into Cooking Issues every Tuesday at 12 p.m. on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to The Morning After. I'm Jesse Kiefer.
I am Jen Tulloch. You know, one of the great things about broadcasting from where we broadcast is we're in-house at Heritage Radio Network, which is literally behind the fabulous restaurant that is Roberta's. Now, for those of you who haven't seen our studio before, not only do we have a taxidermied boar's head, as we mentioned before, but we have a glass partition that separates us from the actual dining room. So while we're broadcasting every week, we're literally looking out into the bustling dining room, people eating pizza. So there have been a couple of interesting incidents of people a couple beers in, making faces, writing notes.
When Jason was the host, a woman did flash him. Which I mean, I don't know why people don't do that more often.
Well, I think we need to make a sign. We need to bring some Mardi Gras beads next week and see what happens.
Mardi Gras came early this year.
I'm ready.
Oh my God. Joe is showing me that he has a bushel of them. Mardi Gras beads. Wow. Yeah. So he's tried this before, I guess. Well, everyone's favorite segment.
Hold on.
I guess front of house was everyone's favorite.
Now you're just playing favorites. I don't think that's very nice.
I guess the both of them are.
Let's try some diplomacy here.
Are equally my favorites. So I'm just going to start saying my other favorite.
Yes.
Segment. What's on the menu at Chardonnay's?
What's on the menu at Chardonnay's? So smooth. Thank you once again to Sade for recording that for us. What is on the menu at Chardonnay's?
Chardonnay's.
Who's talking to us this week about Chardonnay's?
Well, so, you know, we had Matthew Wing, director of purchasing for Stephen Starr Restaurants, and so we thought it only appropriate to bring on our director of purchasing for Chardonnay's, Estelle Van Buren, and I'm completely honored to have her in, and she's going to be letting us know about a new product that we'll be purchasing for all of the Chardonnay's locations.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh,
I am the director of purchases and purchasing for Chardonnay's, which is currently only one location restaurant, but we're hoping to follow Mr. Wang's example and open several more in the near future. Right now, we're just serving a one seating out of my cousin's basement down in Coney Island, but it's been going very well. We're doing a monthly Seder dinner, and people come over for that. We're doing gefilte fish and several things of that nature. It's been very popular. Anyway, I took on this job. I've been retired for the last 32 years. I was a dancer and a performer. I with a sort of vaudevillian traveling troupe for a while. I did a sparkler and a hula hoop number, and I also had a tiny little poodle that sang the national anthem. And while I tap dance, but I haven't been working for years. And my cousin Shirley called me up. She said, you know, we need somebody to do the purchasing for Chardonnays, which I thought was a very elegant name for a restaurant, very, very classy.
Estelle, I'm so honored to have you here. I know, you know, it took you a long time to get here, and Bushwick is probably not a neighborhood you like to visit.
You know, I had never heard of Bushwick, and I'm born and raised in Brooklyn, but we just don't ever come up this far north. I start to get vertigo if I come up this high into the borough, but I'm happy to be here. A lot of young people, a lot of young and eager people, but I mostly wanted to come on today to talk about one of the recent purchases I've made for our business that I'm very excited about. And I don't know if any of you have heard about this. You probably haven't, because I get sort of special emails sent to me, you know, by other people in the industry, people from Kmart, and et cetera, et cetera. This is a product that I'll be honest with you, I had conceived of while high on marijuana, at least, I'm going to say 16 years ago. I was visiting an old former high school classmate of mine, Freddie Chante, down in Miami. And, he had a little medicinal marijuana, and we smoked it. And I said, Freddie, how do you slice a banana? And he looked at me and he said, what? I said, how do you slice a banana? I said, think about it. You unpeel the banana, you slice it with a knife. What? That's 25 minutes of your time. You know, I'm 87 years old. I don't have that kind of fucking time. And he said, you know what we should invent? We should invent a banana slicer. Now, I didn't, because my hip was bothering me at the time, so I didn't have the time or capabilities. But I was recently turned on to this beautiful product, which you can find on Amazon, and it's called the Banana Slicer. It's shaped like a banana. Can you believe it? It's a plastic, fake banana with little tiny rails in the middle. And this is what's really going to kill you here. This is how it works. Unpeel the banana. You take the banana slicer, and you just slice it through the banana. Boom. 2 seconds. It's done. Slice. You could put it in cereal. You could put it in your yogurt. Whatever you want to do. Eat it just by itself. Banana by itself. Who would have thought? So I've got the Amazon review right here on my grandson. Let me use his iTelephone, to look up this Amazon review. I just want to read one customer review to you as a testament to what a beautiful product this is and why I should have followed through 16 years ago. This customer review is written by Mrs. Toledo, and it's entitled Save My Marriage. What can I say about the banana slicer that hasn't already been said about the wheel, penicillin, or the iPhone? This is one of the greatest inventions of all time. My husband and I would argue constantly over who had to cut the day's banana slices. I know how that goes. It's one of those chores no one wants to do. You see, the old I spent the entire day rearing our children. Maybe you can pitch in a little and cut these bananas. And of course, you think I have the energy to slave over your damn bananas? I worked a 12-hour shift just to come home to this. These are the things that can destroy an entire relationship. It got to the point where our children could see the tension. The minute I heard our 6-year-old girl in a bedroom reenacting our diggly banana fight with the Barbie dolls, I knew we had to make a change. That's when I found the banana slicer. Our marriage has never been healthier, and we've even incorporated it into our lovemaking. Thank you so much, Banana Slicer. That's a beautiful thing. I mean, that really, I would like to give that a round of applause. To save a marriage with this Banana Slicer, as a director of purchasing, I'd like to think I'm sort of, you know, an expert on these topics. I would encourage any of you out there that's having any sort of marital problems or sexual dysfunctions or what have you, get a banana slicer. Really, it'll change your life. Thanks so much for having me.
It's amazing to have you here, Estelle. I am incredibly enthusiastic about this product. I can't wait to let our servers know about it. And
please
I
do. Mean,
and so what are the dishes that you think we're gonna be using this with? I mean, dishes are gonna come out in seconds as opposed to minutes now.
Listen, I like to keep it simple at Chardonnay's. We do a bananas foster with it's a Breyers vanilla ice cream. And what I do is I take a couple of those Werther's, you know, those little butterscotch candies, and I melt them down. And then I just put those little, they sort of melt down into little orbs, little globs. I put those on the ice cream with the bananas, flambe that right up with just a Bic lighter, any kind of Bic lighter you can do. Just flame it right up. Bananas foster, you can't beat it. I also just love a couple slices of banana over a piece of angel food cake with some gummy bears. You can't beat it.
But, I mean, just you're a desserts genius. Thank you. I was just, you know, I'm thinking like bananas foster, the flambé, it's such a display, such a show, and then
it's very theatrical.
To just add on top of that the banana slicer that slices the banana so quickly.
Listen, I don't want to mince words here. I am an artist. That's what I am at the core. So, you know, that extends to my desserts and that extends to my purchasing. So I just wanted to share that with all of you. I love the show. I'm a very big fan. I think that you and that very attractive girl, Jen, are just lovely. And I love what you're doing.
Well, thank you for coming here, Estelle. And we'll certainly have you back. If you'll come back, let us know about a new product that we're going to be having at Chardonnay's.
Thank you so much, sweetheart. Take care.
Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. Go and purchase your banana slicer.
Go forth.
This is The Morning After
on Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.